I'd like to, I guess, dedicate this, this a very, very, very special Jew, tzaddik, beyond anyone's question, and a marbitz Torah for so many years, and a mashpia on countless thousands of people, Rabbi David Trenk. He's now, seems, in a very difficult, situation, health-wise. And his name is Menachem Yechiel David Ben Basheva. I thought that anything that positive that might come out of this discussion should be a schus for him for refuah shleima. And I think that this discussion is especially appropriate in a time where it seems to me that there's a certain level of chashivas haTorah which is being undermined in this generation. There are many, many aspects where the Torah is so considered so chashiv, and there are certainly aspects where that chashivas may be undermined. But specifically, in Eretz Yisrael, there was, for 70 years now, this idea that a ben yeshiva is exempt from his military service because of the fact that, what the government's idea of the exemption was, I can't speak for. But the reality was, the real justification for it was the fact that the Eretz Yisrael only exists b'schus haTorah, and to have b'nei Torah learning is really the kium, specifically and especially, of an entity which finds itself in mortal danger every minute of the day. As many terrorist acts as we hear about, there are many, many times more, I don't know the numbers, that are thwarted every week just by the efforts that they have to make sure that to keep the citizens safe. And the Schus HaTorah is the greatest thing that we have to assure the survival of Eretz Yisrael and the Teshuva Eretz Yisrael. And now that this is being seriously threatened, it's not just a threat to the people that are learning, but it's a threat to the whole sense of the chashivas, to the concept is being, and that concept was like, it may have had its flaws, but it's made a statement that this is not just learning Torah is choshuv, but Eretz Yisrael survives in that schus, and when that's tampered with, I think it's a very sad a sad day for the Jews. And specifically in the case of Rabbi David Trenk, he's a person who his whole life built his life around the belief that the Torah was for everybody. And it wasn't just for Yechidei Skula. When he was the Menahel in Adelphia, he was the patron of all types of Talmidim who maybe didn't necessarily fit the regular mold, and he stood for them, and he fought for them, and he was mashpi on them, and he loved them, and he loved them, and he did wonders with them. And then later on, when he started his own yeshiva, it was the same thing. So he represents that tremendous avas haTorah, and that tremendous avas habriyos, and that realization that the Torah is for everyone, which now is also coming under question. So, not question, but under attack. And therefore, I thought maybe this might be an appropriate discussion to be a schus for him. But before we begin, I just want to, considering everything that is going on, I just thought in davening that the brochos of the Shmona Esrei are uniquely relevant speaking to us today. And I just want to very briefly, the Gemara says that the Geula is going to come in three stages. First, there'll be Birchas Hashonim, like the stages of the Shmona Esrei, the Brochas, that Eretz Yisrael will lie barren for who knows how long, close to 2,000 years. And then eventually, as the Jews start to return, it will begin to flourish. And we know that 150 years ago, you couldn't find anything in the marketplaces, hardly. And today, their products are exported all over the world. The second stage is the Kibbutz Golius. And that, too, we know, has begun to take place in our lifetime and the previous generation, where people are coming from all over the world and returning to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the third stage, which we're still lacking, is Hoshiva Shoifteinu Kivorishoinu V'yatzeinu Kivatchilo V'hoser Mimenu Yogim V'anocho, that the Dayonim and the Gedolim and the Shoifteinu V'yatzeinu and the Sanhedrin will be restored, and there will be a tremendous chizuk and you know, the eventual bringing of the Geula. That's like the third stage. But I think that if you carry the Shmoneh Esrei further, you see that there's a need for La Malshinim. And when we say La Malshinim, Al Tihi Sikva B'chol Arishol Karega Tuivet, there's a lot of that going on and opposing us today in the world, and especially in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, that's part of a kavona that we should have. Shoyver Oivim Umachnia Zaydim.
They're Jews.
Yeah, but they're
Zionism,
yeah. No, B'chol Please, b'chol horisho kerega toivet, not horisho.
Part of it.
B'chol horisho kerega toivet. Okay. Anyway, so
most of the bracha.
V'la malshinim al tihi sikvo. B'chol horisho kerega toivet. B'chol oyevecho mehiro yikareisu. That's all. The oyev Hashem should be dispersed and dispelled. Should be uprooted. Anyway, please. And it goes on, and we need a restoration of Yerushalayim and the Mashiach, and at times when we see that the very nature of the little bit of the Chashivus HaTorah that has been left in a world which is Jewishly has become so secularized, when that is under threat, I think it behooves us to take our tefillahs a little more seriously about these things. Anyway, but that's not what I wanted to discuss here today. What I was in my recent travels, the question that I heard so many times from so many different people was, in so many different ways, and I must admit that I hear it all the time, is why is it so important to learn Torah? We want to fight for the right to learn Torah. We want to fight for the fact that there should be an army of Lomdei Torah. And in fact, I must say that throughout the generations, both from within and from without, the enemies of Torah have always known that that's the most important battle. For some reason, the outside world understood, get the Klal Yisrael where it hurts the most. That's to stop the Gzeiros that were against learning. Somebody, they seem to have a sense, maybe the anti or the non-Lomdei Torah, for some reason, have maybe sometimes even a greater sense of how important it is because of their tremendous efforts to destroy it. So I thought that we would try to deal with this issue, just with some brief overview, some points, and it should be a schus for this great Mechanech, Reb David Trenk, Reb Menachem Yechiel, David Ben Basheva, who literally gave his life to bring Torah to everybody. There was no one that came his way that he didn't feel was appropriate for him to learn, for him to be taught, and for him to grow, and for him to spend his time and his effort and his love and his dedication to be mashpia on. And I hope maybe these words could be somewhat of a schus that he should have a refuah shleimah. So I just wanted to touch on a number of points, which I think just very briefly. Chazal, first of all, tell us that Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halavai Oisi Ozvu V'Toirosi Shomoru Shehamoyer Shebo Machzirun Lamutov. Very strange language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai, if only they forgot about me. Oisi Ozvu, they've forsaken me. V'Toirosi Shomoru, but they keep to my Torah. And the Masil Sashorim clearly learns, and others, that we're talking about the Limud HaTorah as well, or specifically even, Hamoyer Shebo, that there's some light that emanates from the Torah which will bring them back. And we find that time and again. In my generation, before the event or the development of the tshuva, the Baal tshuva phenomenon, we used to see it in a very simplistic way. Somebody would lose a parent. The parent had drifted from Yiddishkeit, even the grandparents. This individual never knew anything much about Yiddishkeit. But he knows that the parent passes on, he's going to come to shul. And many people, most people, a lot of people knew that they wanted to go to an Orthodox shul because that's basically, they knew that that's where they came from. So they come to the shul and to say Kaddish. Some came religiously, mamish, they wouldn't miss a Kaddish for anything. Some of those people could teach a lot of the more religious people a lesson, but that's besides the point. And the picture that we used to see in general, I'm generalizing, was they're sitting at the back of the shul, and between Mincha and Ma'ariv, the rabbi is learning some halachos or some mishnayos or something, and they're very, very, you know, like remote, distant from it. And then after a couple of weeks, they start listening a little bit and says, sounds interesting. And then they move up a couple of seats to hear it a little better. And then a little bit more and a little bit closer. And many, 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 many of these people, I mean, the numbers were in my day very significant, maybe paled by the greater tshuva movement, but became Baalei tshuva just because they had an exposure to the learning of Torah. The learning Torah, the Moir Shabbat, they saw something beautiful, they sensed some even used to say it was deja vu. They felt something very eerily familiar with what they were learning, something that spoke to their neshama and became Baalei Tshuva. So, you know, the Torah has that impact. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Alavai oisis ozvu, if Torosi Shamor, that light, that Moir Shabbat Torah, that something special that emanates from the Torah, and more from the depth of the Torah even than from the words of the Torah, but from whatever level it may be, that has the power to transform a Jewish person into an uplifted, dedicated Shomer Torah mitzvahs, maybe more than anything else. So that's one. David HaMelech also said, Lulei Teirosho Sha'ashuoi Ozovadeti Be'onyi. Throughout the Golos, we've suffered untold suffering. The Crusades and the pogroms and all of the attacks and all of the Zeiris against us, and not to mention the Holocaust and such things. I mean, we've been the brunt of it all throughout history. And David HaMelech expressed the words that so many who followed him expressed, Lulei teiros choshashua, if not from the delight that I get from learning, ozovadeti be'onyi, I would have been lost completely. And in the suffering brings such pain, and the delight and the joy of Torah, it sort of catapults a person into a connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that is beyond anything that he could do on his own without that Torah which connects him. And therefore, in the midst of all of his suffering, he finds the strength to be able to go on. Okay, I'd like to mention just a few points that I think would be very relevant. Number one, I think when we talk about learning Torah, we talk in the yeshiva world, we talk about learning Torah Shebaal Peh, Gemara. I think one has to realize that, number one, Torah Shebaal Peh is the direct Mesorah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, passed down from generation to generation, with room for differences of opinion when it came to a generation where they weren't a Mishamish called Sorchum, where they didn't really put in that fullest of effort in getting it absolutely, totally, so they got pieces or perspectives of it. That's true. But Lemaisa, that this is from Har Sinai, and the critical, in-depth understanding of the written word of Hashem. So we have a Sefer Torah, which is the direct written word, directly dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That written word we can't even deal with it. We have no idea what it means. We don't know what tefillin are, what teitofes are. We don't know what a mezuzah is. We don't know what a sukkah is. We wouldn't even know what a matzah is. We don't know anything unless we have a Torah Shebaal Peh. That Torah Shebaal Peh is the in-depth analysis of the word of Hashem. And I think if a person realizes that, this is the word of Hashem. It's the word of Hashem. Without this word of Hashem, there is no word of Hashem. The whole word that Hashem gave us in Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, we have no clue unless we have a Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Torah Shabbat Peh is critical. That's number one. When a person puts in efforts in understanding Torah Shabbat Peh, what he's really working on is coming closer to Hashem and understanding Hashem. This is the Teres Hashem. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us in this world. This is the formula for which he gave us to reach human perfection in this world, to be able to shower us with all the chesed, which is the purpose of his creation of this world. And the Teres Shabbat Peh is what connects us to that. We come closer and closer because in Teres Shabbat Peh, I understand him. I know his thinking. I know what he thinks about this. I know his concept of this. I know every concept, whatever it may be, whether it's Negei Halacha or not. It's a dimension of the thinking, of the worldview, of the moral standards, and all different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thinking and essence. And in deciphering it and in delving into it more and more, we inevitably become closer and closer. We're engaged in a process of trying to understand the Dvar Hashem, which is a direct means of connecting with him. The deeper that we delve into the Torah Shabbat Peh, the more that it motivates us to want to realize that we have to know what is right, and we have to obligate ourselves to the performance of the mitzvahs. You know, performance of the mitzvahs could be a very shallow thing, but when we get into the Torah Shabbat Peh, we see the depth of Torah Shabbat Peh, and through that depth we begin to say, wow, this is how the halacha came about. This is what where the halacha comes from. And when we see that system and we feel part of that system, then what happens to us is that I want to do it more. I appreciate it more. I know where it came from. Observing halacha is not something dry. It's not something I just do because it says and I got to do. But I understand that it's all part of the Masorah from Sinai. It unfolds in a systematic, supremely logical system that I buy into and I begin to understand and to delve into and appreciate. And then my whole life becomes a greater sense of appreciation of the halacha. And with a greater sense of appreciation of the halacha comes a greater sense of obligation to the halacha. Because the limud ha-Torah has a tnai. It has to be al-menas la'asos. Ha-loimed Yerushalmi says, ha-loimed shaloy al-menas la'asos, noyach loy shaloy nivra. One who learns Torah not for the purpose of knowing the halacha and feeling that sense of obligation to the halacha would have been better off not being created. Would have been better off not being created. Why better off not being created? Because the tachlis of creation is to a person to make himself, mold himself into that refined and perfected human being, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can shower him with the chesed, which is the purpose for which he created him. And a person who learns Almanas Lasos misses that. Why? So I would like to suggest, and again, this is all in very brief form, but when a person learns Almanas Lasos, what he's really doing is mishabed himself to Hashem. I am studying this, and you know what this means? I'm studying this for the purpose of my performance, my actions, my commitment. Therefore, what I am doing is, I am, through this study, sending myself a message of the extent of my shibud, of my obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to mention something which we've mentioned here many times, that shibud has a very interesting byproduct. The Sifri says that when a Jew is sold for a slave to a goy, that there's a special ashora avodayhem, because he has a tendency to think, Ma Rabbi Oved Avodah Zorah, afani kamoyu. Ma Rabbi Shefech Domim, afani kamoyu. Ma Rabbi Mechal Shabbos, afani kamoyu. Says he has this master who's mishabed him, who obligates him to follow his directives. And even though he may not be a benevolent master, he may not be the kindest, he may not be the most sensitive, he's not really asking whether I feel in the mood to do the things that he wants me to do or not. I'm an eved, and he's the odin, he's the boss, I'm the slave. But there's some psychology there that because he has that shibud over me, I want to emulate him. I want to be like him. He's Mechal Shabbos, I want to be. He's Avodah Zorah, I want to be. He's Shefech Domim, I want to be. Al achas kama v'kama la havdil elef alfei havdolos. When a person develops a shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by learning al menas lasois, I'm learning al menas, and it doesn't matter whether I'm learning halochas and negel amais or not, because I'm learning to clarify. I want to clarify everything so I should know what the rotzon Hashem is, and I'm meshubit to it. I'm meshubit to halochas, which I'm meshubit today to Shmira Shabbos, even though Shabbos is a few days away. I'm meshubit to Shmira Shabbos. If Shabbos would by some miracle come upon us today, then I would keep Shabbos, because I'm meshubit to the mitzvah. Whatever Hashem says, I'm meshubit to achilas matzah. It's not Pesach, but I'm meshubit today to achilas matzah when Pesach comes, you know. And if the Bez Nagodol would declare Pesach a day earlier, then I'd be meshubit to matzahs that day, because and that shibut creates an inner craving to emulate Hashem and to make myself into a more refined human being. And that's that provides me with the ability to fulfill the purpose of creation. Therefore, a person who's learned shaloy amenas lasos, not to generate this sense of shibud in his life, such a person is in a darga of nechle shaloy nivra, because he's missing the essence of what it's all about. I think that's another point to keep in mind. Now the Torah has two types of hashpa. One, as we mentioned, is a logical, but there's certainly mystical hashpa as well. There's something, the fact that this is Torah Hashem. This is the product, this is the gift that the Nosein HaTorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Borei Olam, has given to Klal Yisrael. Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim v'nosan lanu es Torosoi. That in and of itself is very powerful, but it's mystical. It connects me to Hashem. This is His Torah. This is what He gave us. This is His blueprint for creation. This is based upon this He created the world. This is His word. There's something about it that even besides the nature of the concepts and the context, just the thing itself has this mystical hashpah. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to call it a pchina ruchni, a spiritual hashpah. But there's also a very, very strong pchina gashmi. The Bechina Gashmi is when I learn Hilchus Lashon Hora, that affects my Shmira of Lashon Hora. When I learn Hilchus Shabbos, that affects my Shmira Shabbos. When I learn Hilchus Bein Olam L'Chaveira, I learn Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Nezikin, Man Deboi Lemevich Sido, the Gemara says, Yasek Bamila Nezikin. You want to be a Chosid? A real Chosid? Lefnim Yishurus Adin? Yasek Bamila Nezikin. Because that means that every place I turn, I learn this value system of this is what you should be doing. This belongs to you. This is yours. I have to return it. This is your property. I have to respect it. I have to know exactly what part is yours, what part is mine, and what I'm allowed to do, which could disturb your property. This is a hezek. My animal was mazik. This happened. Everything. So it creates this. In fact, that's what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, that's the reason why they start children with nizikin. Because then they imbibe these values, these sensitivities, at the earliest stage, so they become part of their personality. We know, we've quoted here before, the Rabbeinu Simcha, when he says that the Yegia of Hilchus Gzela, the Yegia Shnei Mashkach HaSov, and the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, he says the Yegia of Hilchus Gzela, together with the fact that I have a shtickle parnosa, so I'm not going to think I have to steal, Mashkach HaSov, the Torah makes it not only that I forbids me to steal if I learn Hilchus Gzela. Not only that I will overpower the temptation to steal, but it becomes out of the pale of my reality. Mashkachas ovoin. It's as if it makes it forgotten. It's beyond me. I couldn't think of it, just like most people wouldn't think to murder, even though they might think to say Lashon Hara. But it makes it beyond. I can't even consider it. It's a subconscious, I guess a somewhat conscious and somewhat subconscious total ashpo, an impact. And Rabbi Yisrael calls that the b'china gashmi, in a very material sense. It has a direct effect on the person and changes the way he acts in all different aspects of his life's conduct. Now, the depth of the intricacies of learning. And sometimes we wonder, you know, we learn ksubis, and we're not dealing with ksubis. We learn halachas that seem to be not directly, maybe to rabbonim, they're relevant, you know, under certain circumstances that they have to paskin certain shailas. But to the hamunim, it doesn't be so relevant. But, you know, when we allow ourselves to delve to the depths of Torah Shebaal Peh, then we have this awe and this reverence for the moral authority of the Torah, because it's so deep, it's so real, it's so accurate, it's so analytical. There's so much pain and effort and analysis that goes into every single nuance and every single detail to be able to come up with any type of clarity and understanding. That creates an awe and a reverence that this stuff is really, really serious. This is to be taken, not to be taken lightly. This can have a real impact on my life. And this is something which really should affect the way I lead my life and that everything that I do. I want to add one more thing. Also, a lot of our learning is spent in what we call learning how to learn. Not only just getting the information, and mastering the information, hopefully, but learning how to learn. And that too has a very profound effect, because when I feel that I have the keys to be able to unravel any Torah concept, any Dvar Hashem, any directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether I'm familiar with it or not, the keys themselves make me feel that much closer to it. I may not be able to master everything. There are very few people, who knows if people can still master everything. But if I have the keys, then it's between me and the keys and the bookshelf. Or today, me and the keys and the Oitzer HaChochma. But I have the keys. I can do it. I'm connected to it. Without the keys, there's no connection. There's like an iron curtain. I can't get there. But psychologically, just the fact that I know, and then when I start to do it, and if even I only feel it in one halacha, but in that one halacha, I could appreciate the extent of the hiskarvus and the hiskashrus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with his directives from Sinai, that it gives me that sense of, I have these tools, I want to use them more and more, I want to continue, I want to master more, because I have this key and I have this ability to be able to get in and to really appreciate that which is the Dvar Hashem. I want to mention just one more thing, which I've mentioned here before, but I think it would be remiss not to include this as well. There is machlekes in Torah Shebaal Peh. Everybody knows that. And machlekes, in reality, in Torah Shebaal Peh, is nothing to be, upset about. You know, it's not that kind of machlekes that there's a lav of lo siya ki koirach v'cha adosoi. In fact, I would dare say that machlekes in Torah Shebaal Peh has been instrumental in the survival of the Torah Shebaal Peh completely. Because if we didn't have a machlekes, Abaye Varov and Yir Shaloi Midas, I might not know anything about what Yish is, about what Aveda is, about the state of mind. But when we see the argument, he says this and he disagrees with that, and he brings a riot from here, this is no riot back. That's what elucidates, that's what allows these concepts to come alive to us. In fact, the true essence and the life of the concepts come alive in the in-between the words of the machlekes. His position is this. He disagrees with that for this reason. He says this, but he disagrees with that. He brings up, in there lies a depth of understanding that we could never get if it was passed down to us just as concepts, as words, or as halochas. So to derive the depth and to be able to apply it to new situations, you know, straightforward halachos without the depth of the understanding cannot be applied to anything. Because I can't apply any concept to something unless I understand what's behind the concept. When I have a new invention, I want to take an old concept and apply it to the new invention and see if it applies. But I have to know what that concept really is and what's behind it. Otherwise, I can't apply it. So this is machlekes does us that benefit. But in terms of machlekes, there is a concept called elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. So I just want to mention a thought that I think sometimes can be helpful to understand that, and that is as follows. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that at the time of Hillel and Shammai, when it was Nisrabu Talmidim Shloshim Shul Kol Tzorchom, that's when the Machlokes began. Before that, there was virtually very, very little Machlokes. But there were many Talmidim that weren't Mishamish the Rebbeim to the fullest. They didn't, you know, really work that hard to get exactly what the Rebbe was saying. And they ended up with a piece of it, a perspective of it, but not the total thing. And that started Machlokes. Now, what the Gemara tells us about Machlokes is that kol ma she-talmid vosik osid l'chadish nitla mesh mi-sinai. Every chiddush, that every bona fide Talmud Chochem is going to be machadish, that means this one, and the one who says the opposite one, they're all taught to Mesh Rabbeinu Har-Sinai. Mesh Rabbeinu didn't pass down the Machlokes, he passed down the basic, unified, general concept, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him the different aspects so that when they will be needed, because in a generation where they can't fully grasp the whole concept and each one grasps just a piece of it, so they will all have been taught and they're all part of Torah Mi-Sinai. But the truth of the matter is, according to what we mentioned before, that the Torah, learning the Torah is meshabed a person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can understand that Machlekes itself is a legitimate thing. If Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel come to two different conclusions, but they both study the sources, and they were Omer Batorah, and they were bona fide Talmidei Chachomim, and they knew how to learn, and they had all the tools, and they had the proper Mesirah, and they put their efforts according to the way they see things, and Beis Hillel came out with one conclusion, and Beis Shammai came out with another conclusion. As far as the Torah is concerned, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. They're both because Hashem wanted shibud, because the shibud to the Torah is what motivates a person to emulate Hashem and to mold himself after the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he does, though, when he puts that, he learns Almanas Lazis, and he's mishabed himself to that which he's learning, and he knows how to learn, and he knows what he's learning, and he's not fooling himself, and he's not Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, then this person is coming out with the Dvar Hashem. Yes, the Dvar Hashem can be Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that system of Shibud, learning Almanas Lasos and coming to that conclusion and living by that conclusion. And if he's Talmidei Beis Hillel, he should follow Beis Hillel. If he's Talmidei Beis Shammai, he should follow Beis Shammai. But both have gone through this process, and Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim is exactly what it says. They're both acceptable Divrei Elokim Chayim because they came from the process of analyzing the Sugya Almanas Lasos, and of that Almanas Lasos, which creates this desire to emulate Hashem and to achieve the human perfection, the perfection of Midas, the refinement of Midas, which is the Tachlis of everything. So he's accomplished this Tachlis, even though there's a difference, and even difference opinion today, whether electricity is Boine or whether it's Eish, according to one or the other opinion, it's really irrelevant. Even there could be an Afkamina la Halocha, but Reb Chaim Oizer, when he learned that it was Eish, learned the sugya to the best of his understanding and his Shirish HaNeshoma, that was his conclusion. Le Chazon Ish learned it and came to his conclusion. And they're both legitimate. And as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, they both use the system of learning to achieve the greatest level of human perfection, which allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shower us with his chesed, which is the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. So these are just a few general ideas of the benefits that we get out of Limud HaTorah. And of course, when we learn halacha, then we know exactly how to perform the mitzvah. But the truth of the matter is, when we learn Torah Shebaal Peh, we appreciate so much more the conclusion in the halacha. many people look at the conclusions in halacha and say that they're arbitrary. Okay, they thought this. I think differently. I wanted this. Why they have to make it this way? When a person sees what went into them, first of all, if he learns the specific sugya, he can understand it. And even when he learns one sugya, he sees so much depth and analysis and insight and brilliance and genius went into these conclusions. I guess I have to be machnia my das and say, hey, you know, I guess there must be more here than meets my limited vision, and mele it serves the person a greater chizuk to observe the mitzvahs as well.